There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that's sort of going on right now. Oh, hey, Lee. Lee's here.
It's not that late. Wake up.
I know. It's not that
late. Wake up.
Well, you know, you get up to go to, you had a real life, you got to get up early. You know, this is,
yep.
I'm getting old.
We are getting old.
I mean, I haven't heard any. Oh, hey, Lee, before
what?
We get started,
okay.
We have a correction to, announce.
Yes, you do.
Zan actually called in. Let's see if I can get this to work here. See if I can get her message out to you guys. Hey, I met my 1 hour goal apparently of something. I don't know what that's for. Okay. Here we go real quick. Hopefully this comes through.
Hi, this is Eternal Zan. I was just calling with a correction from episode number 2. I had said that the Marriott took passkey last year, that Marriott reservations were reserved with passkey. But you know how sometimes all the years can blur together. And that was true of previous years, not last year. Last year, Marriott did not passkey. Thank you very much.
All right, so... See? So we want to make sure we get our facts straight and everything else because, you know, we are the top of journalism over here. So,
well, we want to get it. We want to get our facts as straight as possible up until things change.
Right.
And then we have the disclaimer. Change. Right. And then we have the disclaimer that, you know, it's not done until.
Speaking of things changing, do we have any new guests?
Yep. We do have some new guests, and of course you were going to ask me that as I just clicked off that page, but I'm going right back. So hold on. No, we do have some new guests. And every day, guys, keep watching. Keep watching. You're going to see the 400 guests. It's going to be awesome. So again, we have current series penciler of Jimmy, V. Ken Marion. He's coming. J. David Spurlock, who's an author, illustrator, and educator. An advocate for artist rights. We've also got the Ken Spivey Band, who is doing that, which we actually, John and I know the Ken Spivey Band, so we're glad they're coming back. And also Defiance. Jess, another actor from Defiance is coming, Jesse Rath, who plays Alec Tarr. Tarr, actually. I watch that show. I know how to say that name. So those are some of the people that are coming. We've got a lot of great, great people coming. And so watch everything. And you'll be able to see who's coming. And it's going to be really cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. And every day or every couple of days, there'll be announcements. It just kind of keeps going on. And more people are sending in their stuff. And more people are saying, yes, I do want to come. So there is that. So
I guess that guest application only applies to a few people, right? Is that what we're saying?
No, you still have to do. You still have to do a guest app.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to do a guest app and do all of that.
But what if I had to do a phone app?
We need to know. There's the 400. You could.
Oh, I thought we were going that way. No, we're not going that way yet. Okay.
With a game. No, we're going that way because if you did a phone app with a game. Or, you know, you wanted to be like a part of the 400, which is the number of the guests, and then maybe try to beat up 300 of the 400 and do that in a video game. You would probably be able to do that, and we would put you on this track, which is with Kevin, who cannot believe I am here. So hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi. Guess what? I'm here. I'm not on vacation this time. Now, I don't know anything about games. And what is your track called again now? Because I get very confused.
The video game track.
Video gaming track. Because it's not Memorphs. It's not Memorphs anymore. It's just video gaming.
All video games.
All video games.
Mobile games. Console games. Coin-op games. If it's got a computer,
so like Pac-Man?
You have more than one room, right?
Yes.
Okay, I was gonna say, because you ain't fitting any of that in one room.
No, no, I'm up to 53 panels this year.
What?
53. Well, that's why he has two rooms.
And a ballroom.
How do you manage that much content?
Because I have a huge staff.
Oh, bragger. Oh, we're talking. That's just genetics. It has nothing to do with. Oh, never mind. Cool. So explain what
you. That was too good. You just teed that one up for me nice and perfect.
He's very good at that. He's a great straight.
That's
well,
what the ladies and say. Oh, hey, so let me ask you a question real quick. Explain, I mean, you just kind of gave us an overview, but what really, you used to be the Morph of
RPGs.
Yes. Was it last year or the year prior that it expanded out to video games? And
last year was the first year that we combined with the former video game track run by Mike Capps. Mm-hmm. Mike Capps is hard to describe. He's technically also a director, but he's kind of a spiritual advisor guru. He sits back and brings in the industry guests, and I provide the programming, and we are essentially a team with, again, a very substantial staff. Sorry, Rachel might be listening. Volunteer organization.
I love how you keep talking about your substantial staff.
It is quite.
I mean, are you like pretending to be Gandalf? What?
I've been accused of being a wizard, but you know, just keep lobbing them in there. That's okay.
Uh huh. A pinball wizard?
There's got to be a trick.
Where is this going?
This podcast is going nowhere. Let's add a professional, a person that actually plays video games that maybe can talk with Kevin.
Okay, I mean, hold on a second, because I said this last year oh my God, that's hysterical for her little picture. But I said this last year, which is not that I don't want to be on for video games. I like Kevin, even though he gives me a hard time. Hi, Kimmy. Even though Kevin is just not nice, that's okay. I can take it. I can be the bigger person here. The problem is
you can rise above.
I can rise above. I can. It'll take a couple of helium balloons in a house, but I can do it. But the thing is, I know nothing about video games. I mean, the end all be all of video games is when I yell, "Damn it, get off that TV and stop playing those games. You've been doing it for 8 straight hours." And actually, the problem is that my son is a second generationer, because somebody gave him his first game for free. And then the second ones have cost us, and that would be the person who cough Kim, who just joined the podcast. Hey, Kim.
Hello.
Don't even try that nice voice, because you are a video game pimp, much like Kevin.
I am a generous person who shares joy with others.
We're expanding the marketplace and spreading the joy that is Dragon Con video gaming.
She's just mad that I gave her son Fallout 3 and Mass Effect for Christmas one year.
Damn, can I be on your Christmas list?
Now, understand, this was Fallout 3 after, what, 3-4 years after it had been out, so it was okay.
Oh, now you're calling her cheap? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not calling her cheap. I'm just saying that she...
No, he was into Mass Effect. I gave him Fallout 3 and I think Dragon Age.
Yeah, you might have. Yeah, and then of course, she was also the one who said, really, Halo isn't that bad for him when he was like 10. You know, Halo's not that bad. I mean, he's just shooting aliens.
They're not shooting humanoids. They're shooting aliens.
Yeah.
It's a non-representational violence.
Mwah-huh.
So, Kevin, so you cover a bunch of video games, right?
A plethora, if you will.
So what are some of the tracks you're going to have this year? What are they mainly focus on?
Oh, gosh. 53 panels. Describe some of them. Now, the guys from BioWare are joining us this year, speaking of Dragon Age and Mass Effect and all that kind of stuff. We have a lot of the writers and creators and developers of those games.
That's super exciting.
We have tons of voice actors from various video games, so chances are Chances are we've got somebody who will sound awfully familiar to you if you've played a video game in the last 10 years.
Also exciting.
Yeah, Mark Meer's coming back if you're a Mass Effect fan. So.
He's so great. Anybody who cosplays as their own character, I am 100% in favor of.
Hey.
Does he?
Yes.
I'm in World of Warcraft. I cosplayed as myself last year.
And have I ever said I'm not 100% in favor of you? I have not. No, yeah, Mark Meer is the voice of the male Commander Shepard, and he cosplays as a half Paragon, half Renegade Commander Shepard. It's brilliant and amazing. He's also really funny and seems to be very nice.
He is. He's a good bloke. We spent much time at the Heroes and Villains Ball getting absolutely plastered together last year. So,
oh, are you doing that again this year?
I am.
Oh, great. When's that?
The Heroes and Villains Ball is Saturday night, 10 p.m. We are throwing in a new wrinkle this year. So two special announcements for you guys that you guys get to break as exclusives because I'm that kind of guy. The first is we're doing it's basically a costume reception because we had so many people show up in costumes last year. And one of the complaints was, well, it's dark inside the party. We couldn't get good pictures, blah, 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 blah. So we're setting up some photo backdrops outside the ballroom. So while we're setting up the ballroom for the party between 8:30 and 10, we're going to have a reception outside the ballroom where people can come. They can pre-check their badge, pre-check their ID, get a bracelet, take pictures. And then the minute the doors open at 10, there's no line, no waiting. If you've got a bracelet, you can zip on in.
Cool.
Sweet. What are those backdrops?
That is very cool.
What are those backdrops going to be? They're just regular.
Well, we're working with some photographers. We had one guy last year that brought a green screen set up and he had a whole bunch of different things. I don't know what we've got this year. My party planning folks have not given me the latest and greatest information, but we're working on something somewhere.
Well, that's cool. So that's one announcement. What's the other one?
The other announcement is that this is going to be the last year that we do the Heroes and Villains Ball.
What?
Aww.
Because we're changing its name.
Oh, jeez. So do you know what
I told y'all he wasn't nice. No, I told y'all he wasn't nice. Don't, well, see.
We're still doing a party. It's the party that you know and love, except this time we're going a little bit thematic. We're changing the name to the 8-Bit Ball.
Oh, sweet.
And it's going to have a 70s, 80s music theme, kind of the golden age of video games, which means a fair amount of disco and dance music. And we're kind of going with a theme for next year because we're video games and we figured it would be pretty cool to do something like that.
That sounds like a hoot.
That's really cool. But but it's not just going to be all 8-bit tunes though, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
Just call it the 8-bit ball because, you know, it trips off the tongue and all that kind of stuff.
You're changing the name next year. That's really cool. You've got some voice art artists.
We're still doing World of Warcraft. We still have folks from Blizzard showing up. We just got the folks actually behind the Defiance MMO, the Trion Games, is joining us this year. So we'll have a Defiance panel this year, as well as Arc Age and some of the other games that Trion does. God, our guest list is also quite substantial this year. So I would encourage you to go to our website and look at the guest list, because if I read out the names, it would take up the rest of this podcast.
Now, do you see that massively online? I can never get this right.
MMOs.
Thank you. Are sort of dying off, or do you think that they're
changing?
Okay.
It's changing. Got to understand, when World of Warcraft came out 10 years ago.
It has been 10 years.
It's, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They had their 10th anniversary in January. No joke, it's been 10 years. At the time World of Warcraft came out, it was pretty much EverQuest, Ultima Online, Dark Age of Camelot, and that was about it.
Yep.
And then World of Warcraft came out and sold, you know, 12 million users, and everybody and their grandmother wanted an MMO. But MMO, it's lightning in a bottle. I don't think you could duplicate WoW's formula and expect to have the same success. And I think what has happened is the industry has moved on to games that take MMO elements, but don't require 1,000 people online to play. And I think you have a lot of games where it's, you know, 8-on-8, 16-on-16, 32-on-32. You build your communities. You have people who talk to one another. There's the social interaction. They come in, they play, and it's an easily digestible chunks. And you know, back in the days of EverQuest, I mean, not exaggerating, there were 18-hour days spent in game.
Mm-hmm.
And
whoa,
hey, nobody got time for that anymore.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the challenge with an MMO is it's like taking on a second job.
Yeah,
a lot of the time, and you know, that's the reason I never, even the ones I like, I can never stick with for very long because eventually I get tired of the commitment.
Well, and I think what you're seeing is, to have a successful MMO, one of the things you have to have, and Warcraft certainly had this, is you've got to have a world with lore and history and characters that people can relate to. You know, there were a lot of Warcraft games and expansions and so on and so forth, and people were familiar with the Warcraft characters before WoW ever saw the light of day. I mean, you had Warcraft, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, Frozen Throne, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people forget that that was actually a spinoff.
Exactly. And I think if you look at the games that are doing well, I mean, Star Wars The Old Republic, ever since it's gone to the free-to-play model, has done really well because it's Star Wars.
Right.
It's a world,
and it's BioWare.
Right. Well, it's BioWare, and BioWare writes a good game, but it's a world. They understand the characters, the lore, the history, how the planets relate to each other, the difference between the Sith and the Alliance, and right, so on and so forth. There's a whole rich world there. Lord of the Rings Online is another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the folks that get Tolkien will play that game until the computers fall apart.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, I spent some time in the Star Trek MMO, even though it wasn't all that good, just because it was really fun to me to have my own ship and be the captain and be in the Star Trek world. So if you can get a good game with an established thing.
Well, that's the thing. Star Trek Online, hey, not a lot of fanfare, but it's still got quite a few players and it's chugging right along. Yeah. And they figured out the free-to-play model is enough to make enough money to keep the lights on. And once you have that world, you attract a community. And once you have the community, you've got a core of players that are going to be there all the time. And once you have that, it's almost kind of like starter and yeast. It'll start a reaction that just keeps on going and keeps the game world viable indefinitely. Right.
As long as you feed it every so often, it'll keep on growing.
Yeah. Update the content every now and then, throw in a couple of new dungeons, you know, especially with the Star Wars movies coming out, you know,
yeah,
there's going to be a whole bunch of lore and things that conceivably could be added.
Yeah. I think everything Star Wars is going to get a boost because there's some real energy around that new movie.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Warcraft movie coming out next year, you know, God only knows. I mean, the guys behind World of Warcraft aren't slowing down on expansions. And with a movie coming out next year, there's going to be renewed interest. And there's still about 7 million subscribers, which still dwarfs any other MMO out there.
Well,
oh, yeah.
And they've done a good job, too. You talked about pulling, changing the original Warcraft, the strategy game, to MMO. But they've been able to take their properties and expand it out, too. I mean, there's got to be at least 2 hours a day I spend playing Heroes of. Why is all of a sudden blanking? Card game, help me.
Hearthstone.
Hearthstone, thank you. I was saying Heroes of Warcraft. Hearthstone. I've started playing a little bit, though. It's not really my jam. Heroes of the Storm. But you know, they've done a great job, and I think that's what you're seeing. Though, is that my concern at this point? Though, is that with the smaller companies, now Blizzard's not a small company. Well, in the grand scheme of things, it sort
enormous.
Of is. Huh? Was that?
No, they're enormous. They're backed by Activision. They're huge.
Right. Well, I mean, but that's my concern, though, is that these other innovative companies will get sucked up by people like EA, specifically EA.
That's what EA's for.
We lose some of this ground, but when we're doing that, we're finding that, you know, you're finding that you are going more to you know, more console gaming. You know, it's kind of gone full swing, right? So it went back in the day computers, you know, BBS or whatever, then console, then back to, you know, online, and now back to console again is what it seems like it's going to
be. I think it's actually starting to swing back away from console back towards PC again. And you're right. It does go back and forth. Every few years, one platform or another gains ascendancy. But Yeah, it depends on what you want to do. And I think what the big studios do and what they bring to the table, and it's a lot like the technology sector, which is where I work in my day job. You know, you have some guy who's in his garage and he develops this cool little app. Mm-hmm. And then an Apple or a Google or somebody big comes along and says, hey, I want to take that little app and go big with it. Mm-hmm. And so they buy it and the guy in his garage gets rich and Apple comes out with a new product and so on. And you know, game studios are doing kind of the same thing. Some small game developer develops a cool concept and EA says, I want to take that and go big with it. And so they acqui-hire or they just buy, you know, they buy the company outright or they do whatever. And a lot of that technology kind of gets incorporated and stolen and not stolen, but incorporated.
Engulfed.
Engulfed. I mean, you look at World of Warcraft, you know, they use City of Heroes as an example. City of Heroes does this whole achievement system and, well, you know, Blizzard wakes up one day and says, hey, that's a pretty good thing. I think we'll put that in our game. And then, you know, Plants vs. Zombies comes out and does a million copies on mobile or whatever. And they say, hey, I think we'll do that as a mini game in World of Warcraft. And they plop it in there. And, yeah, I mean, they do that with a lot of things. And, it works. It keeps things fresh. And, you know, Blizzard's developers and engineers are extremely talented and can adapt things to fit into their universe. And I think as long as they keep doing that, they'll stay relevant.
Well, with the rise of, the soon to be rise, maybe, of VR, are you guys going to be covering anything in the virtual reality realm?
Not this year. We're already making plans for next year.
Okay.
We're talking with some hardware vendors, Oculus, obviously, a few other folks. And the big thing is, again, with Dragon Con 30 being next year, I think sometimes people feel like, well, this year is going to be a bit of a letdown. And I think it's just comparatively speaking. I think this year is going to be fantastic. But next year's Dragon Con 30, and that's going to be a blowout.
That's crazy. It's been 30 years. That is just nuts.
And I think it's 30. Did I not count right?
You probably did. Lee, did he count right? Lee left. She's had enough of this conversation.
She's like, video games, I'm out.
So let me ask you, what other video games are you going to be featuring, or video genres are you going to be featuring? Video
game genres. Well, we've got a crew from a site called Digital Veda Games. Basically, they are kind of a social media community, and they've offered to do some things like Kingdom Hearts Jeopardy and a Halo trivia show, and they're looking at a Assassin's Creed Family Feud, some game shows type stuff that we think is going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to give it a shot and see where it goes.
Now with even more stabbing.
Right? What a great theme for Assassin's Creed.
I know. I enjoy that a lot. That's great.
I think that's one of the aspects of the partnership between Mike Capps and myself is Mike is the established industry professional. He knows everybody. He knows how the industry operates. He knows that side of the house really well. And I'm kind of the mad scientist go, hey, fans might think this is fun. Let's try it and see what happens. And I'm really excited about the way our partnership has developed. Last year would not have been as nearly as successful without him. It was easily our biggest year ever. And I think we had between 18 or 19,000 people come through our track over the course of the weekend. And we're expecting to do bigger this year because, I mean, we've got some great guests. And I make fun of my volunteer guys by calling them a substantial staff, but they are truly fantastic. And, we've come a long way from when it was me and Trevor and a couple of guys trying to figure out what the hell we were going to talk about besides World of Warcraft 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's the con just in general has grown like gangbusters. So what other special events do you have besides the Heroes Ball?
Well, we're
Heroes
doing
versus Villains.
Right. Heroes and Villains Ball Saturday. We're doing a geek trivia for charity on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. We didn't really do as well a very good job of explaining to folks what we were trying to do last year, and it didn't come off as well as we had hoped. So we're trying to give it a little more publicity and explain what we're trying to do. It's a $5 entry fee for every player. Anybody that wants to play can play. It's kind of a bar trivia style. You're going to sit at a table with eight or nine other people, and you play as a team.
Oh, okay.
But it's a $5 entry fee. All proceeds go to charity. We're going to have some stuff, some prizes and stuff to give away from our studio guests, and some of our celebrity guests are going to have things that our teams can compete for. So there's something in it for the players. And we're just basically, you know, it's our attempt to raise some money for charity, because this year's in particular is a really good cause. Mm-hmm. And lymphoma, for those of you who haven't heard, we're doing the Lymphoma Research Foundation. Mm-hmm. But it's that is an issue that's kind of hit close to home for a lot of us directors over the past year. And we're just trying to do our part to raise some money for charity. So we're doing everything we can to get people to come out Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Like I said, $5 per person. It's a really good time. We try to keep it light and fun, but the questions will be enough to really make you test your geekhood.
Now, is it general geekdom?
We're basically all the categories are going to be involved with some track at Dragon Con. So it'll be X-Files or Star Wars or Star Trek or video games or whatever.
Okay, cool. And where is that going to be held, at least tentatively?
That is going to be in Grand Salon D at the Hilton. That's our second track room. It's actually our large track room. Grand Salon D at the Hilton on Sunday night.
Wait, you're in the Hilton this year? Were you in the Hilton last year?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought... Weren't you? You? I thought you were in the one that's over to the right.
The Sheraton?
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Okay. So you've been moved for a while. And I didn't know that. Maybe that's why I couldn't find you. That's why there was a lack of World of Warcraft characters walking around over there.
Well, but oddly enough, our Heroes and Villains Ball is in the Sheraton.
Oh, okay.
So we still do our big party over there because it's really the only room.
Now I'm totally confused. I am absolutely confused at this point.
The grand ballroom at the Sheraton is the biggest ballroom we got. So that's where we're having our party, because we have to try to cram 3,000 people in a room that holds 2,000.
Is that your unofficial headcount?
Actually, it's more than that, but I'm not supposed to say.
Yeah. No, it's not. We do not break any rules that would get the fire marshal upset.
Oh, no. Mr. Fire Marshal was quite happy. He was
there. We go. See, there we go.
We do not run afoul of Mr. Fire Marshal.
See, Mr. Fire Marshal or Ms. Fire Marshal.
Number might not have all been in there at the same time. So
we are, however, on a first name basis.
we do have a friend and the fire marshal. There we go. So yay.
Bob was very, very firm about saying, I'm keeping my eye on you, mister.
I watch you.
So, Kevin, what are you playing these days?
Oh, jeez. I'm playing this World of Spreadsheets.
Eve Online?
No, well, Eve was good training for it, but basically I've got these 53 puzzle pieces that I've got to fit together in a four-day thing. It's almost like project management, except I don't get paid for it.
And we've got 48 plus 51 hours to do it, man.
Well, let me ask you, 100 days ago, what were you playing?
100 days ago. I've been getting a lot of mileage out of World of Warcraft lately. The 6.2 update with the shipyard and the Tanan jungle content, I've had a blast with it.
Yeah, but do they have flying?
Future fun.
They are incorporating – you have to get an achievement to get flying. And there's a lot of the things you have to do to get those achievements in this patch. So I've already got all those achievements. I'm waiting for the next patch so that I can fly around Draenor.
And make fun of people below you?
Absolutely.
So
that and Star Wars The Old Republic. I've been backing that for a while.
Really?
I have a new computer now. I need to give that another try because my old computer could not run it. Like, it was like a gorilla on a tricycle trying to run it before, but it was so bad, like up a hill.
Well, I had a fairly recent computer.
I need
to
retry now that I have a computer that's more likely to be able to actually run the thing. Because I liked what I saw when I was getting every fifth frame, but you know,
well, it was like kind of like stop motion claymation kind.
Yes, it was. It was bad. It was bad, especially because I was just starting out. So of course I had to stand in line to like go turn in all my low-level quests to the people, which was pretty funny. You are the chosen one. You know, like there were literally lines of us like turning in our quests. It was pretty funny. I have been actually, I have finally found a cooperative shooter console game that I enjoy playing online. Isn't that funny? Payday 2.
Yes!
It's so fun.
That's actually one of my costumes for this year. I am wearing a Payday 2 costume to the Heroes and Villains Ball this year.
Oh, that's great. One of the terrifying clown masks?
Yeah, I'm going as Dallas.
Ah, yes. My favorite is the horrifying robot Santa.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, those masks are, wow.
Yeah. But I don't know. I enjoy it because it's not just shooting. Like, there's lots of things to do. And if you get a good team together, you can really, you know, be strategic about it and figure out who's going to do what. And there, you know, it has enough RPG elements to not just be a shooter. Because there was the funny story of when I went to try to play Halo, we got the like Halo collection and I just missed that one, even though it was really influential. And I was playing along and doing the little shooty thing. And it was it's a fun, I can see why so many people liked it. It's a fun shooter. The shooting mechanics are fun. And I actually asked my husband who had played it. And I'm like, so when do I get to go back to the ship and talk to people and go shopping and stuff? And he's like, you don't. I'm like, what? What about the nice lady that flies my shuttle? Can't I meet her? No.
Yeah, that's...
He's like, this is not an RPG. This is a shooter. All you do is shoot. I'm like, okay.
But you see what I'm saying, though, about games kind of learning lessons from MMOs? They bring elements like that. You know, Mass Effect, I think, is a classic example of, hey, you could walk around your ship and do stuff in between missions, and it's not just mission.
That's the thing. Like, the shooting part was fun, but after a while, I was lonely. I wanted to go make a friend.
Oh, Kim was lonely. Oh. Okay, so, yeah. Kevin, I'm curious. What games are your kids playing?
Oh, boy. My daughter is a Minecraft junkie.
Yeah. She's at the age. She is the age of the
She watches the videos on YouTube. She steals she comes into my room, steals my iPad so that she can play Minecraft.
Well, she's not stealthy enough, though, to really... Oh, no.
My son's the ninja. She's not ninja. Really? My son's the ninja.
But your son's younger.
Yeah, he's not there yet.
There's certainly worse things.
He watches YouTube videos, but for the most part, he just wants to watch his Rabbids and Umizoomi and, you know.
Rabbids are awesome. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well,
speaking of Minecraft, are you going to cover that genre video game?
We are not covering Minecraft just because, well, we don't have any room. And I get into this conversation with a lot of fans every year. So, well, why don't you have a game, you know, panel on Final Fantasy? Why don't you have a panel on, you know, World of Tanks, or, you know, pick any one of a bunch of great games? And part of the criteria is we got to have somebody who is an expert on the game to talk about it, because there is absolutely nothing worse than having a couple of fans who don't know any more about the game than you do going, so who here likes to PvP? Cool. All right. Who here has like played the game a lot? You know.
Let's talk about Sephiroth. I have this fan art.
Oh God. and I bag on that, but honest to God, the way I became a director in the first place is because I was sitting in an EverQuest panel where the guys were like, so who plays on a PvP server and doing all that kind of stuff? And people were asking them questions and they didn't know the answers. And I just started smarting off and answering because I happened to be a guide in EverQuest. And one of the guys up on stage recognized me. We actually went to high school together. He goes, Stallard, if you know so much about this game, why don't you get up here and talk? And I handed me a mic. Rest is history.
Isn't that the way it always happens?
Yeah, so, Lee, I gotta share this to everyone in the chat. What's going on? Lee is so lost. She goes, what's PvP? What's that? And then Kim has to explain to her a player versus player. There's another real person on the other end of that character.
It's not supposed to burn when you PvP.
That's good.
I'm more of a cooperative multiplayer person. I'm not a big competitive multiplayer person, because it seems like I always get some little snot-nosed kid who just wants to sit on top of the spawn point and get easy kills, and it just makes it not fun. Yeah. I'm a lot more into when you have to have a team and have a strategy, which is why I'm enjoying Payday.
Yeah. Oh, I love Payday.
It's so much fun. Doc Ezra, also from Need Coffee, got me into it. He's like, no, this is what we've been playing, you know. And I took advantage of the big GameStop trade in your PlayStation 3 and get an extra $150 trade in credit towards the PlayStation 4. and have been
PlayStation.
Committing grand larceny with great abandon and joy.
So, PlayStation.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I only play real games on PCs. So
I'm a console person. Because honestly, because my desk is not comfortable to game at. I like to sit at the couch and be farther away from it. I guess I don't know.
I just like bagging on consoles.
Everybody does, but you know what? Consoles are—they're what they are. And I came to gaming through consoles when I was a kid, so I always have a fond place in my heart for them. Earthbound, Chrono Trigger—those were the days.
So you talked a little bit about that you want professionals or people that know something about the game to be talking. So what is your how then do you decide which panels to do? Do you get the guests first and then build the panels around them? Or do you just come to mind of some things that you know you can probably get guests for and then work that way?
Well, there are a couple of givens that you start off with. First of which is you have last year's schedule and the attendance figures. You know what panels drew from last year and what people wanted to see more of. Mm-hmm. The feedback from the app is incredibly valuable. Because fans will tell you what they like and what they don't.
Yep.
And when they say, oh, God, we want more of this, well, okay, we're going to put more of that on the schedule and we're going to look for some guests who fall into that area. There are also certain types of guests that you know you're going to see every year, like voice actors. Love them. Haven't worked with a bad one yet. But for the 10 that we're using, we probably got 40 applications. Mm-hmm. And I can't say yes to all of them. So it's like Mark Meer, I know he's going to draw. Courtney Taylor, I know she's going to draw. But we try to swap some of the others in and out and, you know, give people a chance. Dino Andrade's back. Dave Fennoy is back. I'd love to have them every year. They're super nice. But, we try to get representation from a bunch of different games because, you know, last year our Mass Effect voice panel drew, I think, 1,100 people.
That was the only panel that I stood in line for all weekend. That was the only one I was willing to stand in line for.
Yeah, I mean, that was absolutely enormous. So, yeah, so we're going to do that one again.
Yay!
Even though we don't have Trisha Helfer or Michael Hogan coming back to join us this year, but we've got a few other members of the Mass Effect cast, and it's going to be great. So, you know.
But I mean, I would listen to the dude who played, like, third shopkeeper on the Citadel talk about Mass Effect. I'm that big a Mass Effect fan, so, you know.
Well, yeah, I've since learned that Mass Effect fans are a very hardcore bunch.
Yeah.
Which is great. Hey, man, you know,
yeah.
Power to it. I got no problem with hardcore. But, when I was MMOs, well, Mass Effect isn't really an MMO, and that was not really a game we could really cater to. And you walk around the con and you see the costumes and there's Borderlands and Mario and Mass Effect and all these great video game costumes. I'm like, we don't do any of these.
I know. I've seen some amazing Borderlands cosplayers, especially because it has that ultra stylized art style. And people have been really creative with interpreting that into 3D, which I think is a lot of fun.
Well, and I play Borderlands. I'm a fan of the game as well. In fact, we had some guests lined up for Borderlands this year, but for one reason or another, arrangements fell through and we couldn't get it done for this year. But and that is another thing that happens is you'll have a guest lined up. I call it the case of Adam Baldwin. like, hey, we're going to have a great panel about Chuck. Oh, he can't make it because he's filming. Well, there's not much you can do about that.
Indeed.
So we talked about your charity trivia contest, your big ballroom dance thing. And what else do you got going on?
Well, we got our Dark Moon Fair on Friday night, which is our World of Warcraft themed. We do a bunch of little silly contests. We're going to have a Hearthstone gathering. Some folks from Open Raid and some of the WoW communities are going to be there to kind of, everything from guild recruitment to just meeting your fellow players.
Neat.
And we're doing one special contest, which I've got to get working on because I haven't written the content for it yet. We're going to do patch note Mad Libs.
That's brilliant.
That is such a great idea.
The 69th level spell, Spirit of Rutabagas? Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
oh, that's so Ruta, fun.
Rutabagas is what you would get from a Dragon Con audience.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was trying to keep it, you know, family oriented.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's awesome.
So, I've got to actually write some of those and trim it down because lately WoW's patch notes have read like novels.
So, thinking of some of the things that I was excited to hear about at E3, do you have anybody from Bethesda coming this year? It's the big year for them.
Arr, there be my white whale. We actually talked with them and they said, perhaps you've heard we're going to be a little busy this fall.
They're not even, it's not all completely done already. Come
I don't
on.
I'm not even sure they're going to PAX. And that's the downside is you got this new hotness game coming out.
And all the people are too busy making it to actually talk about it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, dude, we're in a time. There's no way we can send out a developer, you know, 3 weeks before we're supposed to ship. Are you nuts?
Yeah. Yeah, and so then you wind up in that situation which you were talking about before. People that don't know anything about it having to talk about it if you were to create a panel around it, right?
Right. So we do, and the way we kind of position ourselves, because we run either on the same weekend or the weekend after Penny Arcade Expo every year. Mm-hmm. And if you want, you know, breaking news, the latest and greatest titles, you know, things that are the future of the industry kind of stuff, that's kind of gaming trade show stuff. That's kind of out of our space. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same reason that we don't do a lot of movie previews and stuff for our fan tracks at Dragon Con. We're for folks who are fans of stuff that has already come out. And we're really the only convention that does that. You know, if you go to San Diego Comic-Con or if you go to PAX or you go to any of these shows, you'll have all these booths set up where all the studios are telling you what's next, what's next, what's next, what next. Mm-hmm. We're for folks, hey, remember that really cool game that came out 5 years ago? You know, we're for folks who want to get together and talk about their favorite games that have been out for a while. We're not there to sell new copies of the game. We're there for fans who have already bought the game to get together and talk about it.
Well, but if J.J. Abrams wants to come and, you know, premiere his Star Wars trailer,
say no.
We'll make an exception.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. I mean,
right?
And that's the thing. You know, when we had James Gunn last year.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
You know, it was one of those, well, you know, well, because at the time we had him booked, nobody knew that Guardians was going to be
huge. Yeah.
So he's like, well, you know, hey, okay, we'll have him. And then, of course, Guardians gets huge and the timing is perfect. And yeah, we had a huge guest.
You know what's nice? He didn't back out.
That
was really cool.
Speaks well of him.
Well, yeah, exactly, and the guy, the celebrities and the studio folks who come to Dragon Con do it because they love it. I mean, Dragon Con's just fun, mm-hmm. And when you go to San Diego or if you go to PAX, I mean, let's be honest,
it's work.
They're working,
yeah,
right.
They are on the clock. They are on the job. They got to watch what they say. They got to toe the company line. All those things. Whereas Dragon Con, you're likely to see John Barrowman spank somebody with a ping pong paddle.
Yes.
Well, you know,
I mean, anywhere you may John see that other way, is, you're likely too, to but. See that, but you know,
yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of the and I hear a lot of people in the online communities talk about, well, you know, Toronto Fan Expo or PAX is getting so and so, and so and so's, you know, Will Wheaton's goes to PAX every year, and
yeah,
that's great and all that, but you know, a lot of those conventions pay appearance fees. You know, we'll get a celebrity that says, I want 4 first class air tickets, 3 hotel suites, and $1,000 per diem, and a Walk of Fame table. And they make all these, you know, we want all this stuff before I'll come to your convention. And we don't play that.
Yeah.
Just don't.
I'll tell you, my friend has run a convention, a local convention, a couple of times, and it's come up. I've talked to I talked to Erin Gray, and she, you know, we talked about, oh well, why do you require it here and not why do your guests request it here, but they don't do the same thing for Dragon Con? And she just goes, Dragon Con is a completely different beast.
Yep.
You know, it's first of all, they know that they're going to get their quote unquote appearance fees just from the Walk of Fame. Usually, I mean, anybody that's getting a Walk of Fame table does not do badly at the Walk of Fame.
Shatner in particular made, he was supposed to just be here for the one day, the first year he came. And after he saw his one day take from the Walk of Fame, he called his agent and said, cancel my plans in Chicago. I'm staying here the rest of the weekend.
I believe it.
It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, that was like a nuclear bomb going off when he showed up the first year. It was big deal.
But I mean, if you get a Walk of Fame table, you're going to make bank.
Right. And also, you're right. The guests go there because not only are they going to get paid, because of course, you know, their time is valuable too, but they're going to have a good time, right?
Yep.
They're always going to have a good time. And even those folks that don't, you know, don't collect money for signatures and things like that, they show up because it's a good time.
Well, and you talked about Erin Gray. I had the pleasure of meeting her a couple of years ago, and
she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome, but the whole business that she's built around Heroes for Hire and kind of being the convention agent for a lot of the bigger names, mm-hmm. She's done well for herself, and the folks that she's worked with have done well. I mean, you know, Felicia Day keeps coming back, and Lord knows she's in demand at every GeekCon in existence. Mm-hmm. It's not like DragonCon expects people to do it for free. You get your money, but it's not the way other cons do it with appearance fees and contracts. And it's very much a, you know, the joke is once we get you here, we'll keep you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they'll come back and bring their friends.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen that happen.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
What I'm actually hoping now, this is kind of in a tangent to the topic of our conversation, but one thing I'm hoping is with Marvel Studios doing so much work in Atlanta, that we will start getting more guests from that world because they seem to have a good time at cons.
Yep.
And I think they'd be a good fit for Dragon Con.
Yep. And like I say, once you get them here,
mm-hmm. God. Like, yeah, I think one or two of the more social ones, I bet we'd start getting more and more.
Well, it's like, you know, with James Gunn doing Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I mean, you really think word's not going to get out to the cast of that movie that, hey, you know, this is a pretty good time over here. And, well, yeah. We happen to be filming in the city.
Yeah, we're down in the city, you know. Which, by the way, did you know that Haley Atwell and James Darcy flew from Comic-Con to Atlanta to do that video they did with Chris Evans?
I did not know that.
They actually flew from San Diego to Atlanta and back in like a day to get that video made.
I tell you, the stuff I've heard about San Diego, and I've admittedly, I don't know as much about those cons as others, but I've heard stories that, you know, celebrities, you know, if you're living in Hollywood, it's what, 90 minute ride by limo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get your limo ride down to the convention center, you're walking behind ropes, you come in, you do your panel, you claw back in your limo, and you sleep in your own bed that night.
Yeah, that's an advantage they have.
I mean, it's a huge advantage. But that's not the kind of con we are.
Right.
You know?
DragonCon is 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to move into our world for 4 days to really get DragonCon. And a lot of the celebrities and guests who have done that keep coming back year after year. It's like, why do we always see, you know, Richard Hatch and Voltaire and the Crew Shadows? You know what? They get DragonCon. And they're in a way they're part of the family. So, you know, it's Dragon Con is a different beast. It's not like any other con anywhere.
And that's why it's so special.
So,
and you guys who are listening should all come to it. How's that for being on topic?
Hello.
We need bigger crowds.
The crowds have been manageable, completely manageable. Don't say anything other than that.
No, it's
there's still more hotels in Atlanta.
Well, you know what's funny? It's funny you should say that. They're actually building a new hotel. It's called the Hotel Indigo, and it's between the Hyatt and the Westin. It's right next to the America's Mart.
Are you kidding me?
But they took one of those old bank high rises and they're basically gutting it and turning it into another high rise hotel. So you're going to have another hotel that's right there with the Ritz and W and Westin and Hill.
Happen to know if they're going to connect it or no?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I know from where we saw the construction signs and all that kind of stuff, I mean, I could throw a football from the front door of the Hotel Indigo to the Hyatt.
Well, you got a pretty strong arm though.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking 50 yards tops.
So let me ask you, since so we head towards the end of this here, last year was your first year doing the whole video game thing. How did that all go?
Went well. We had some learning experiences. Part of it was merging Caps's staff with my staff, and make your own jokes here. But yeah, it's kind of getting to know each other and how we worked. And there was some behind the scenes stuff that took us a bit to work out, but, you know, we both want the same thing and it's worked out really well since. I've had to deal with a larger organization that I've had to deal with in years past, and not all of them knew me or my sense of humor. I mean, as Lee can tell you, I play a bit rough sometimes, and, I've had to kind of moderate my management style a little bit for such a large group. Mm-hmm. So there's been some things on that end that I think will result in noticeable improvements this year. Mm-hmm. But crowd and content wise, I mean, we're on top of our game. We've done as well as we've ever done. And it's getting better. So I got no complaints.
Sweet. So anything else you want to hit before we sign off here?
Oh gosh. Let's see. I mentioned the pre thing and the name change and I'm going down my list. Oh yeah. There's one other thing I got to mention. And I'm sorry about this. This is purely a vanity project. But I am, one of the things I'm bringing down to our track room this year is I'm actually building an arcade cabinet.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I've got the light up buttons and the joysticks, and I'm powering it with a Raspberry Pi, one of those little microcomputers.
Nice.
That's pretty much got every Atari 2600 ROM, and every arcade ROM that will work with my version of MAME, and basically it's going to be a two player arcade cabinet that plays any game you've pretty much ever heard of.
That's amazing.
And will it be operational there?
I'm hoping that it will be operational by the time Con comes around. I've actually just finished building the cabinet hardware this week, and I've got the computer chips and all that kind of stuff all set up and ready to go. Now I've got to install the innards into the cabinet and hope that it all works.
Or you have free labor while you're there.
Right. But one of the little things, it's a portable cabinet with HDMI out, which means it'll play on any big screen.
Oh.
So if you want to play arcade games on like a huge projection screen.
And who doesn't really?
Come by the video game track this year.
All right.
It's free.
Sweet. Well, I mean, they won't be able to play it while panels are going on.
Oh, okay. On, but, you know.
You'll get to play it while panels are going on, but.
I'm playing anytime I want, but yeah. Being the boss does have some privileges.
Now, let me ask you your final question for this year. Which is, if you had to live in any video game, but it can't be World of Warcraft or Star Wars, since we already know that you have enjoyed that too, what video game would you have to live in for the rest of your life, or just have to play for the rest of your life?
God, I'm going to get crucified for this.
Of course you will. That's why I asked the question.
Mass Effect universe is pretty darn cool.
Now,
as
let me
long as you said it early enough that you're not going to get turned into some sort of abomination, you'd be golden.
Mass Effect universe is pretty awesome. If I can't pick Star Wars and I can't pick WoW, that might be on the list.
You don't want to live in Fallout's world?
No.
Although I've
been to South Carolina. I've seen what that looks like.
Every time I see a big box store that has gone out of business and is getting kind of derelict looking, I think of Fallout. Like, I bet there's a nest of raiders in there.
Well, since that's up, are you going to be covering handheld portable mobile games, if you will?
Yes. Yes, I am. In fact, one of the developers we have in this year is Allison Carrier, who worked on The Simpsons Tapped Out, among other games. And she's going to talk about getting into designing mobile games and some of the things that are coming along. She's done a lot of really cool games on the mobile platform. So we've got her as an expert, and Brian Stabile and a few other folks who have some expertise in the area.
Oh, great.
We're debuting or sneak previewing a couple of games, which I guess I can tell now. One is called Brawlhalla, which is basically a 2D platform brawler game. Think like multiplayer Mortal Kombat where you're hopping from platform to platform.
Okay.
The gameplay is kind of insane.
Is that that's sort of like a Super Mario Brothers, right? I mean, Smash Brothers. That's what I meant. Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's similar. The other one we're debuting in is Firefly Online.
Oh my.
Really?
Really, really. We have gameplay footage, and yeah, we're showing it off.
Okay. Well, so I guess I'm going to have to cancel everything else I'm doing so I can go check that out. And now I've got to bring my son with me. Oh boy. my son has gotten so much into Firefly. He's 11 now, right? And I said, son, be prepared for disappointment. This is, you're going to be your first experience with loss because there ain't no more. Firefly Online. I heard that there was, I don't follow it close enough, but I heard there were rumors that it was coming out. So when is it set to actually be released?
I don't know when it's planning on going live, but we have the developers there and you can ask them.
Sweet. Of course, they must love answering that question all the
time. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they never get tired of that.
Track in who's the Hilton.
Who's actually producing that?
Oh, what the hell? I'm trying to remember the name of the studio. I know the guys. Let me see if I can get the name of the studio because I don't want to blow that. But it Spark Plug Games.
Okay.
Is John O'Neill is one of the developers who's going to be here this year and talk about the game. But I want to make sure I got the plug-in for the company and not just, hey, John O'Neill's developing this game.
Yeah, cool. That's a really cool thing. No. Wow. All right, so Kevin, I again appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule for both, building video games, cabinets that is, and doing, fun spreadsheet stuff. I know that you'd rather be doing spreadsheets than this.
I'd rather slide down a slide of broken glass into a pool of lemon juice than to fool the spreadsheets.
And of course, Kim, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you filling in for Lee. By the way, Lee got so frustrated with not having no idea what was going on that she just said, forget it, I'm leaving.
Well, yeah, the conversation just went over her head.
if it's not gin rummy, she doesn't know anything about it.
Well, I mean, we have to take it to a lower level for Lee and really kind of keep things short and sweet.
Let me ask you,
disavowing all knowledge of anything that's just been said, I nonetheless always enjoy speaking with you, Kevin.
my shins are in a lot of trouble at the next meeting.
And I forgot to
perhaps
ask.
Perhaps one day I'll meet you on the field of grand larceny.
I'm Grimthorn on Steam, by the way, if you should run into me. Throw a bullet or two my way.
When I want to see if anybody wants to play, I send them lines from that Pet Shop Boys song. Let's make lots of money.
I have Pet Shop Boys has been spoiled for me.
Aww.
Because I heard Gwar do a cover of Western Girls.
Oh,
and
really?
It's better than the original.
Okay, that's not really that difficult to do.
But there's your homework assignment. Gwar, Pet Shop Boys.
Now, before we sign off, where can people find you, actually, physically at Dragon Con? I mean, besides under a table. Where
that's
can
right.
they...
You think
what
I'm
room,
telling them that?
What room should they start looking in?
They could find my programming in the Hilton Grand Salon D and Grand Salon E.
And whereabouts can they find more information about your track and keep tabs?
Our website is videogaming.dragoncon.org. We are also on to Facebook and to Twitter at DragonConVG.
Cool. So you've got your room, and you got any other projects that you're working on that you'd like to talk about besides your cabinet?
Well, the cabinet has pretty much taken all my time that's not spent doing actual Dragon Con programming stuff, but I look forward to showing it off. Hopefully.
The cabinet. You look forward to showing the cabinet off, right?
Well, and my substantial staff, but that's a conversation for another.
You're very proud of that substantial staff.
I am. I try to show it to as many people as I can. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Well done, sir. All right, Kevin, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Kim, for filling in for the missing Lee. Probably it's past your bedtime anyway. So until next time, this is John for Kim and Kevin saying peace.
Good night, Shorty.
Good night. You guys are so bad. Poor Lee.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.